Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. I think it was only last Thursday that I did the whole show by myself without anybody hearing it, so hopefully today, let me know in the chat. I'm just kidding. I think we're already over the problem, but I hope we are. But today already, it's July 26th, 2018. It's Thursday. We're on our way to next Thursday. I think we'll already be in August. Wow, that's fast. So it feels like when you start saying August, people are getting ready for school and coming and going. But wow. So anyways, in the midst of many heat waves, we're not there yet. So today, I have a dream that's anonymous. And then I also have a question about what about daydreaming? And I have to tell you, that was Maria Dolce from, I think she's in the UK, and she writes about daydreaming. And I thought, did we ever talk about daydreaming? I mean, we've had like 1,071 episodes, which I just saw today, and I thought, I don't know if we did, but daydreaming is huge. So I thought I better talk about it now, because what happens when you daydream? It's one of the most, I want to say, common, very quick things we do to play out other scenarios with what we're doing. We may escape what we're doing because what we're thinking about is our personal goals, and we're trying to, you know, confirm that maybe what we're doing is right. We're taking in new information. We play out this scenario or that scenario or that scenario. Sometimes we just follow a dream that we wish we could be doing, but then we may see how to do it, how to get there. But daydreams are vital. Even if you're upset about someone, you're trying to figure something out, you don't know why this is taking so long or not, and your mind is trying to, you know, autocorrect. It's like constantly autocorrect. Oh, what should I be doing? What should I do? How should I do it? Let me play out the scenarios. But it's like your own channel, your own, like, television channel, and it's on daydream. And it really gives you an idea of scanning through situations, like a future situation or a past situation, or, you know, sometimes you just heal. You're like, oh my God, I get that now. And it might have taken you a long time to get there, but you got there. You see a glimpse of it. There, you know, sometimes you might feel they're cryptic, but not really. Daydreams are more realistic because you're dealing with what you're doing, when you're doing it, why you're doing it. It is probably one of the healthiest things you can do is to play something out through a daydream. Sometimes when we get upset about that, we don't daydream, we don't night dream, sometimes it pours out of you in your sleep if it's really, really gotten your goat. But it, for the most part, the daydreaming element of us, even like you're driving and you figure things out, you think about things, you say things to yourself and you go, God, I don't want to forget that. And then by the next time you're to the red light, you forget it. And that's when I was writing, that used to happen to me so much. And I would pull over and write it down. Now I just talk it into my phone. So it's a whole different story now. But the daydream part of us, you might be a hero in it. You might be more successful. You might be a gifted musician. You might be a pioneer scientist. But if you're thinking that, if you're thinking it, somewhere in you to see yourself succeed. And if you see yourself succeed a lot in your daydreams, where you figure something out, maybe you played out a scenario three or four ways, and then one of those ways worked, you start to trust yourself. You start to say, hey, you know what? I need to, like, consult with myself. And when we think, we naturally will daydream through our thinking, because now we're seeing images, we're trying to figure it out. Sometimes we wonder, I don't know if any of you have ever done this, but you'll tell somebody a story and you'll think it's real, and you realize that you just thought it, but it was so real when you thought it, and it was one of your options. Then you go, oh, wait a minute, that's not what happened. This is what happened. And then you fill yourself in as well as the other person. But that doesn't happen as much as you would think, but it does happen. I've had, you know, myself walk through things and then go, oh, wait a minute, and thank God it was only to my kids because I remember it. But we think of daydreams as being scatterbrained, as being unfocused, yet one of the functions of daydreaming is to keep your agenda in front of you. It's one of the ways, and I know it's going to sound weird because we think dreaming and far out into the future, but it's one of the ways that keeps you focused in the moment. It helps us cope with what's going on around us. If we're bored, we think bigger than what we're bored with. Dreaming really doesn't have a downside at all. You can scan your experiences. You can scan your past experiences and learn from them. They might leap dramatically and, you know, send you to another place, but it really focuses just on who you are, on your personal goals. It doesn't take anyone into account other than you. Even if someone else is in the daydream, it focuses on your part. It's the one place that you have an emotional and mental freedom. No one can get in and tell you what to daydream. There's a lot of stuff that sleeps in under our skin, but it's your own sense of control. It's your own sense of who you are and where you are and letting yourself go, so that you can see options, you can see your future, you can see, and future meaning that day. Daydreaming organizes our mind. How many people have you met who have done big things in life who say, they used to call me a daydreamer, they used to call me a dreamer? I'd be in class daydreaming, writing down my notes while they were teaching history or something like that. A very poignant escape, self-organization, self-propelling. And we've overlooked daydreams in how many Dream Theme Thursdays? I think we've been doing Dream Theme Thursdays for a couple of years now at least. But it's definitely something not to overlook. That's one of the reasons why people like going into cars and taking a nice long drive. They have time to think. Now, my daughter, when she was in college, she used to go for long drives. She used to leave because she was in a house of, I think, 5 or 6 girls at any given time. And it was always noisy, always people coming in and out. And then as they got to be there longer, there were boyfriends involved and all these other things involved. And she would go for long drives. And the other thing she would do was go to the 24-hour library and, you know, stay there all night and work. And then take a nap during the day after her classes when everyone else was going in and out. But she had to find a way where she could think outside of what we see, because that gives us a cushion that there's potential, that there's capacity, there's mental organization, that there's different scenarios, that we have choices. All of it builds our emotional health rather than takes away from it. Our night dreams do the same thing, only we don't have control over those. And we dream some pretty freaky stuff. We dream of snakes. We dream of being attacked, being killed, killing, falling, dropping. We, you know, dream we fly. We dream all these things. But not one of them is fear-based in the sense that we're supposed to wake up with more fear from it. When we dream fearful things at night, we are releasing fears that we have rather than harboring them and holding on to them. And I know many people, like, there's a culture, and they say, oh, if you lose a tooth, that means somebody's going to die. I'm like, what? Yes, if you lose a tooth, someone's going to die. And then they hear someone died. And they go, see, it's true. And I said, man, whatever we believe is true. Because we believe it so much that we are going to see it by hook or crook. And yet in another culture, and someone dies, it gives them life. It gives them more life on earth because they're never going to die. If you see yourself die in a dream, did you die? No! You just saw yourself die. How could you see yourself die if you died? And see yourself dead and talk about it in the dream. Releases our deepest fears, our fears sometimes of success. And then you see yourself successful and you see yourself running something, even if it's just running your own life, which is huge these days. Huge. One of the biggest issues of our time, of our history, is anxiety, fear of our futures, fear of running our own lives, because we are so inundated with everybody who wants a penny off of your existence. If we just don't know how we're going to keep up even when we have everything or nothing. It's the same across the board. Because we're all trying to keep a level of survival that's healthy mentally, physically, and economically. Those three things, when they're out of balance, we're thrown off and we get fear. And then we wonder why, like, why am I not feeling okay? Oh my gosh, I just need a few minutes. I got to recenter myself. I got to sit down. I got to meditate. I got to do this. I got to do that. Do you know what I do when I start to feel overwhelmed? And it's the funniest thing. And I just started doing it maybe a few months ago. And it works every time. Is I go and I read Origins of Truth. After all these years, I just pick it up, I read a couple of pages, and I'm good. Through the chaos, the mental chaos that creeps up on us, and before we know it, the minute I start to think any fear-based thoughts, I know that I'm tired. And I just go and I pick up that book, and what kicks in? My daydreams of better life for all of us, starting with myself, because I can't think it for you without thinking it for me. I just read a couple pages. I don't even care what pages they are. I read a couple, I'm good, because then I remember the difference between riffraff and real. And I don't have to go that far emotionally to feel anxious, because I'm so used to being calm, and meaning calm, like I can just pretty much handle what's going on around me. But then I start to, oh, I'm worried about this person, oh, I'm worried about that person. And then I say, wait, reel yourself back in. And one of the most important things that it keeps taking me back to is that every day ends as it should. There's things that I might want to get back to, that I might want to say, that I might want to tell, that I might, And there's something I don't get it, that I don't get back to. And I always wondered why. And I'm like, why are there things that I do right away and things that take me a long time? And Christ so easily says to me that it's not only because of you, but it's also what the other person may need. They may need not to have that answer today. They may need not to have that solved yet. And it makes me remember how we're interconnected and how we help each other. And sometimes it's by not doing something as opposed to doing it. And I may think it, I put it on my list, I want to do it, and it doesn't happen. And other things that I didn't expect just come rolling in, get taken care of in a day, needed way more work than maybe just sending an email, and I deal with that. It's crazy. But I've learned to trust so much that I've alleviated that worry. So when I feel that creep in, I know that I'm just stressed. So I have a dream, and it's an anonymous one. And hi, Nadia, if you have time, could you please keep this anonymous? So sorry to send so many dreams, but I've been remembering end bits consistently for some time. This dream was a bit intense, but I only remember the end. I was offered a job, my dream job. Oh, the money for the full project was exciting, and I took it. I then realized I got not make money from it, but I was still very excited. Oh, that I wasn't going to make money from it, but I was still excited. That's it. By the way, I'm diving into looking for my dream job very, very soon. Love you dearly. Letting you know. And that you were going to get paid for something you love. And then you realize that you weren't going to make money for it, but you would still do it. That just reconfirmed that under any circumstances, this is your dream, whatever your dream is. It took out both variables, getting paid, which makes us feel good because we all have bills, and it just floored me. Nobody does it now, by the way, but early on when I would help people and people would get so upset that I got upset at myself. So for years, and I mean like I'm going on the 17th year, 16 of them, I felt bad. I had to charge for appointments, wasn't enough to even pay the bill. And I borrowed money, cried at the end of the month, couldn't pay bills, was negative in my checking account for years doing this work because not only is it a dream for me to help people, there was nothing I could do in me that could help me stop doing this. It is who I am. And I learned that because I did it for no money. I did it for some money. Didn't matter. I still did it. And it was really hard. And yet at the same time, it was really easy. So look for your dream job. Look for what you love and things will work out. It may not happen overnight, but your dream is letting you know what your dream is. It's solidified that you will do it and you will make it. Just keep going. There's something about the power of dreaming, whether it's in during the day or it's at night. There's something about a drive that we have that still remains so used to being told how to feel about everything that we feel like if we don't feel those parameters, we haven't done right by ourselves. But doing what you love, doing what you've always dreamed about, doing what you know you're capable of doing, are like the accelerant in your life. Even in my hardest days, my God, I bled for 3 months looking for money to publish Origins of Truth. I've never had to ask anyone for anything, and it forced me to ask people to join in the dream, because the dream wasn't only mine. And I didn't realize that at the time. I just saw it as a job, you know. It's like I saw Christ and I had to tell people and, you know, I had to go around and do this. And I wasn't a public person. I was just the mom of two kids who was just happy to work my job and get an award every 2 or 3 months. But then there was this bigger picture that I didn't know how to be that person, and I had to learn. And I did. Every penny I had, I invested in my dream. Every cent I had in retirement, I took out. My financial planner that I used to work with, telling people how to manage their money, I went in and took my money out of that account, and she never spoke to me again because I did that. And that's me taking my own money. And she said, "You're crazy. Get in here." And I said, "I hope I can." I never did. And she was so upset with me for exposing myself. But the dream of getting paid or not, was secondary to the dream. Does that mean you won't get paid? No. Your dream isn't saying you won't get paid. It's just that it's telling you there's going to be a sliding scale. But you will get paid for enough to take care of your things, because there's no way you can survive. But you can always transition into different places to where you ask for a salary. And that's something, I have to say this because I can't believe, and I wish I knew this way longer ago in my life. Men, everyone assumes that a man has to take care of a family, and they just naturally would be completely disregarding to not offer a man a decent salary. And for some reason, a woman, if she's a single mom, or even just a woman, no children, and she goes in, people just assume it's okay, they don't have to pay her that much. As though they don't have the same bill. And I have seen it because I accepted it. I even bought into that thinking. And I was scared to ask for money for my work, but it didn't bug me to go beg someone. And I had to think about that. Ask for what you want and need. And this dream is giving you a basis for that. Like, hey, I'm a person too. I'm allowed to have a dream, and I'm allowed to get paid for the work that I'm doing. Because it's never about the money. Christ says it all day long. It's never about the money. The money is a byproduct of work we do, of how we share, how we help. There's many times, and it's a very weird thing I did, but there were days I would have no money, and I never ever can forget that feeling of seeing somebody else who didn't have money, and I may have had 10 bucks on me, and they may have a sign somewhere. And I know that people are giving them a few dollars here and there, and basically the only thing they need is food because they don't have those, and but they're not living in a home either. And I would just give them my money. Because I knew what $5 means. I knew what $10 can do. And even at that level, in my heart, I wanted to pay it forward. People helped me. In the last 16 years, Origins of Truth would not have been published without a loan. And it was a loan, like we went through a financial institution loan with my friends. And then we got it back in $15 at a time. It was very different. And writing books doesn't make you money. People think, oh, you're an author and you do this and you do that. And it sounds great. And it is great. But that's when you know you love what you're doing. Because my paycheck was the light turning on in someone's heart. And I could see it happen when it happened. Paycheck was somebody's marriage staying intact. Or two people who were right for each other but didn't know how to be right for each other. Or parents with their children. And they got to be better parents for those kids, and it impacts the rest of all of their lives. Or teens who weren't sure why they were feeling what they were feeling. And parents asking, what do I do when my teen doesn't listen to me anymore? I know that time so well. But there's a path. There's a path. We're not without answers. We're not without answers. And when we can help each other, my dream, that's been my dream. I remember so clearly when I first saw Christ, and I was at a stoplight, and I looked at this restaurant. It's called Acapulco. It was a Mexican restaurant, which most of those have closed by now. But I remember seeing the roof and wanting to stand on top of it and scream, you guys, it's so much easier than what we ever thought. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, that's grassroots marketing, screaming. But it is easier. And what we have each other, when we know we have each other, when we don't feel alone and isolated, when we ask each other questions. And for every single day since I've seen Christ, my life, myself, my dreams have been preparing me to do as much as I can of this. The business end is hard for me, but this part is not hard for me at all. You guys, our time is up. I will see you tomorrow on Questions Friday. Have a great Thursday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.